Well, good morning. What a wonderful and great day to worship the Lord and join together as we gather our hearts together to worship the Lord today. I want you to listen to Psalm 100 as our call to worship this morning. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. One of the things that stands out to me in this psalm is where it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. As I think about being the sheep of God's kingdom and about God being the shepherd and calling us together, we enter the very gates of God and his kingdom to be a sacrifice to his kingdom. We're at the beginning of Lent here, and as we're at the beginning of Lent, we begin to look a little bit deeper into Jesus' suffering and his passion as we prepare ourselves for Easter. It's a pathway that we should take also. A pathway that we should take to sacrifice and set aside for God's kingdom. So when I think about enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name, it means to give up my life. It means to walk into the kingdom of God in a way that my life is given up also, just as the example of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you right now to open our lives to you, to hear from you, to give our lives for your kingdom, to live into the commitments that we have made to follow our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you are an awesome God, an incredible God, a wonderful God. And you reached down into the midst of our world and you wooed us into a relationship with you. You prepared things before you came to us. And then you initiated a relationship with us. And Lord, you did that because we cannot save ourselves. We are sinners and we realize that. And it's so easy for us to turn from the path that you have designed for us. It's so easy for us to step away and follow our own desires and our own wills. So we come to you this morning and we ask for your forgiveness where we fall short of living the righteous life that you want us to live. We ask you to forgive us. And we know, as the Apostle John wrote in his first letter, that if we confess our sins, that you will forgive us and you will cleanse us. So, Lord, we come to you and we open our lives to you. And we repent, meaning that we turn away from those lifestyles and those ways that are not pleasing to you. And we turn back to you. And we say not just that we're sorry, but that we want to change. That we want you to mold us and transform us and make us into the very image of Jesus Christ in the midst of this world. So Lord, may you do that. And may we be the clay in the potter's hands that allows the potter to form what needs to be made and to use it in the appropriate way in the midst of your kingdom. We can't thank you enough for Jesus Christ and for what he has done for us. He so willingly stepped aside from heaven and willingly came here first as a child that needed human help, a child that needed to be taken care of, but yet a child that grew into a man who gave his all that we might live. What an incredible thing that is, that you have provided an opportunity for us to have a relationship with you through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, thank you for that. We also come before you with thanks for the ways that you continue to watch over us and protect us. And we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit who has been poured into us, not just as individuals, but also has been poured into the community of our faith, that we might know and understand your ways and walk in them in such a way that we draw other people to your kingdom. So we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts in a way that we would understand the nudging and the touch of the Holy Spirit, so that we might set aside all of those things that are stumbling blocks for ourselves from growing on the spiritual journey. Lord, we thank you for those who have gone on before us, who sacrificed to allow us to come to know you, who sacrificed to build the church. Lord, thank you for all that you continue to do. And now as we lift up to you our hearts of concern, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Lord, we pray first for this pandemic and ask for your healing hand to be upon the world and end this pandemic and end it soon. Lord, we thank you for those who have been able to develop a vaccine and that it is slowly, which we wish would happen quicker, but it's slowly getting out there and people being vaccinated. And we pray that that vaccine will work to make it so that we can come back together in ways that will bring honor and glory to you, and that we will be able to reach out to folks with the word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those who are sick right now in any way, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally, whether it be mentally. We ask, Lord, that you would come to them and place your healing hand upon them. We pray for those that are waiting for treatments and medicine to work. We pray for those who will this week have surgery. We pray for the doctors and nurses and technicians attending them and asking that you would give them your wisdom and insight and understanding to know how to treat them. And Lord, we pray for those in the midst of our community that are having an economic hard time, because there are those that are without jobs or their job has been cut back because of this pandemic. We pray for them and we ask that you would take care of them also. We also pray for our government. We ask that you would give them your wisdom and insight to understand and to know your will and your desires, and that they might lead and guide us in a way that brings us ever closer to living your kingdom here upon earth as it is in heaven. Lord, guide us that we might continue to open our lives not only to other Christians and share about our journey, but that we might open our lives to those who have not started a spiritual journey with you, so that they might see and understand who you are through us, because we follow you, and that you might touch their hearts and nudge them in a way that they come closer to you. Because, Lord, we know many people who need to make a commitment to you or need to recommit their lives to living in the kingdom of God. And we pray for them today. We also pray that as we use Jesus' words that he taught the disciples, that you would quicken our hearts to the words and the phrases in this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It is a glorious and wonderful day. It is a day to really pull our hearts together as we seek to hear what God has to say to us. I want to let you know that we've decided that in 2 weeks, on March the 7th, that we will have worship services again at the church, following the same guidelines that we've followed before. But we're looking forward to gathering together, looking forward to having some music during the time of our worship. I hope that you will feel that you can come. We want to continue to do everything we can to keep everybody safe. But I think it's time that we begin to gather together again, because I think just around the corner, maybe later this year, we won't be dealing with a pandemic as much as we are now, once that vaccine gets out to other folks. So please spread the word. We're going to start gathering together at the church. If you have never been with us before, our worship services start at 10:30. And they last for about 45 minutes to an hour. So I hope that you can join with us so that we all can gather our hearts together to continue to praise God, give glory to God, lift our voices to God, and hear what God has to say to us and make a firmer and a deeper commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Today I want to share with you from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. Listen to these words. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. At the beginning of our Lenten journey this year, Ash Wednesday was this past Wednesday, and this is the first Sunday of Lent. As we begin to prepare ourselves for Easter and that coming morning of the resurrection, we have an opportunity to look a little bit deeper at Jesus' life. You see, all of us should know the path of Jesus Christ well. We should know that he preexisted in heaven with God before even creation. And the book of Colossians tells us that what was created by the hands of Jesus Christ. But then at one point, he left heaven and set aside all his rights and privileges, set aside what it meant for a time to be the Son of God and God himself. and came to live upon this earth to reach out to us and to help us to understand through miracles, through healings, through teachings, through just walking life with other people. You see, we should know this path of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I'm appreciative about Lent is it provides an opportunity for us to focus on this path better. And we especially during Lent spend the time thinking about Jesus' temptations, where Satan came to him and tempted him to walk away from God and to use the power that he had to do what he wanted, not God's will. And we know as we read the scriptures that Jesus turned from that. He chose 12 and walked with them. But the time of Lent is really spending time understanding, especially what Jesus went through leading up to the cross. And as we walk through Lent, it's a time for us to see how he suffered, to see how he was persecuted, and then what kind of difficulties and problems he had as he walked as the very Son of God. Should not surprise us in any way that if we follow him, that people will push against us and struggle against us and not be pleased because we seek to find God's will in the midst of this world. You see, Lent provides an opportunity for us to look into all of that and to see it in a much deeper way. Because Jesus suffered for us. He died upon the cross for us. But he was also resurrected that we can know the path of righteousness through him. It wasn't just his suffering and death, and the gospel of Jesus Christ does not end at the cross, but it travels through that Holy Saturday when the disciples really wondered what was going to happen now. What was going to happen now since the one that they counted to be their Messiah was no longer with them? It almost appeared as though the plan of Jesus Christ had failed to them. Until they come to that first Easter morning and find out a very different story than what they were living on that Holy Saturday. And you see, what happens for us is when we come to see the very path that Jesus Christ walked in a personal way, God calls us to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as our Savior, and also to follow him through the baptismal waters. In this passage, Peter says that it was back in those days when Noah was building the ark, which, by the way, took about 100 years. When he was building the ark, that God was waiting for him to complete that. But that ark saved Noah and his family through the waters. They lived in the midst of the waters, the rain that came down, and floating in that ark. And it's those waters that symbolize our baptismal waters. And that we also are saved, not through the baptismal waters, but because we walk through that symbolic baptism, that we come to be part of the kingdom of God. One of the great things that I get to share as I talk with people about baptism is that it symbolizes very much the same thing that happened for Jesus. As we are lowered into the baptismal waters, which, by the way, Peter says it doesn't cleanse us from dirt. That's not what happens here, but as we are lowered into those waters, it's as though we're being buried to our old self. And then when we are raised up out of the waters, we are resurrected to the new life in Christ Jesus. That's one of the great things about baptism, is that it's coming before a community of believers, and it's making a commitment to say that I'm going to follow Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. So therefore, I want to go through the same thing that he did as he started his public ministry. I want to be buried to the old self and resurrected to the new life that God promises me in Jesus Christ. These waters don't cleanse us, but at these waters we make a pledge to follow Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we come with a clear conscience, knowing that we are doing that to trust Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Lord. Lent provides a time for us to go back and to think about that. What is the pledge that you made? What pledge did you make when you came before Jesus Christ? And you said to God, I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior and my Lord. Therefore, I want to follow him in the baptismal waters in such a way that I symbolize the death to my old self and the resurrection to a new life. I still remember baptizing one young man, and as I brought him up out of the baptismal waters, the change in his countenance was incredible. It was as though he understood that now his old self was gone, and now he's moving into a newness of life in such a way that as Jesus Christ lives in him and through him, that he'll have joy and happiness and peace and comfort, even if the struggles come. I pray that that young man still has that vision of what God showed him when he went through the baptismal waters. Is it time maybe to refresh that understanding for you? That you have been buried to the old way of life that is following my desires and following my wants and following what I want to grab in this life and say, see, I have it, it's mine, I win. Do you need to go back and refresh that pledge that says, God, I come to you with nothing, and I trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and eternal life. And I also trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord, that I might follow him to help other people come to know him. It's time for all of us to revisit that pledge and to recommit our lives to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We're coming up on a very important time, and I'm not speaking about just Easter. But sometime I'm expecting and hoping that in this year that we will be able to gather together as the church as we have before. But God's going to ask us to do some new things. And God's going to ask us to have a new vision, that we might not just be stuck in the walls of the church, but that we become the church and live the church outside the walls of the church in such a way that we are nudging and leading people to Jesus Christ. So it's time now, before that happens, for us to go back and examine the pledge that we made with a clear conscience, Peter says, to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Now it's time for us to go back and look at that and examine that and see what commitment we did make, and to reaffirm that commitment in our lives, that we might allow the Holy Spirit to live within us in such a dynamic and powerful way that other people will see Jesus Christ through us, that we will truly be Christians, or what the word really means is little Christ, that we will have a true and wonderful reflection of who God is as we walk in the midst of this world. And people will look at us and say, I want to know the story that you know about Jesus Christ. I want to experience that newness of life that you have. You see, it's time for us to go back and renew that pledge that we made at our baptism, no matter how many years ago it was. To revisit that, to relook at that and say, Lord, I make a new commitment today, a stronger commitment, a deeper commitment to follow you. Or maybe today, as you're listening to those words, you've never made that commitment. Maybe you've lived a good life and walked in the ways that you felt like you should, but you've never made the commitment to accept Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Today is an opportunity for you to start that new relationship with God. And then to move from that point to follow Jesus Christ through the baptismal waters and allow the Holy Spirit to live in you in such a way that people will see that you have a newness of life that you are living with a new vision and a new sight and a new understanding that brings excitement to how you're living your life. So whether you need to make that commitment for the very first time, or whether you need to go back and renew the commitment that you made, and that you need to examine the pledge that you made to say that, yes, I will follow Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and seek to influence other people to come into a relationship with a loving, caring God that says, I send my Son to you because I love you. So I ask you truly to spend some time. What steps will you take to renew or to start your pledge to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? What steps will you take? Lent is a time for you to revisit that and to look into it in deeper ways and to decide, is now the time for you to take a deeper step? I know the answer to that question, by the way. The answer to that question is always yes. It is time for you to take a deeper step in your commitment and your pledge to Jesus Christ so that we might affect this world in such a way that we will see the kingdom of God grow. So during this Lent, I hope that you will examine the pledge and the commitment you made at your baptism to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And once again, if you haven't done that, today's the day to do it. Let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Lord, what a wonderful thing it is. And how you have opened up such a dynamic world for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for his willingness to die upon the cross for us. But also thank you for the resurrection, that we know the tomb is empty and that you also have victory over death. Lord, guide us and cause us to go back and look at the commitments we have made to you in the past. Cause us to see and understand the pledge we made with a clear conscience at our baptism to follow you, not our will, but your will. And may it come to be done here in our presence as it's always done in heaven. Guide us and direct us to see where we can take a new step in this new life, because you're leading the church into a dynamic area in the months to come. So guide us to see that. Guide us to understand that. And guide us to be bold enough to take big steps as we move deeper into your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now may the God who couldn't handle having a broken relationship with you, the God who sent Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his whole life, and that once Jesus returned to heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent to live amongst us, within us, and through us. May that God guide you and lead you this week to make a deeper commitment and to refresh the pledge that you made to follow Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord.